Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily podcast, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Monday, the 17th of June, 2019.
Tremendous.
Yeah. Michael Carberry came in, the former England batsman. He has a new career as an artist. He's excellent, isn't he?
Very good, yeah. He's top man.
Lovely guys, Carbs. You'll hear from him.
Yes, and we had a brilliant bloke on from a football club who know how to celebrate a title win.
Oh, yeah, they go for it. Not for the first time. They'll explain what they got up to. And we had a bit of a chat about various matters.
Yeah.
And also, we played Don't Ask Me based on last week's shows. Andy had to try and get 5 out of 5. Did he do it? Let's find out. Ooh.
Seven minutes past 1. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And, of course, we both Saturday went to our old friend Andy Smart, regular guest on the show.
He was here last Monday, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Ball runner, comedy store player, Farnborough fan.
And it was a lovely party, very, very enjoyable. Yeah. Lots of faces from the world of comedy.
As you'd expect.
But one of the blokes here, I met this guy at the end after you left, Paul, who works for Crisis at Christmas with Andy.
Yeah.
He's a big Arsenal fan, this
fella. Right, yeah.
And he's one of these blokes. He said to me, he's quite sweary. He said, I expletive hate Chelsea.
Oh.
I really do. And I hate you on the radio. But actually, you seem all right.
They got you on side.
What a great exchange.
Had he had a drink?
He said, I can't even believe I'm speaking to you, but you seem all right. Yeah, I think he had a few.
Yeah. He sounded quite emboldened, didn't he, really?
So he was a massive Arsenal fan, so fair enough to him. And I enjoyed the competition prize winner and cancer survivor, Alan Sexton from Essex. What a great moment for him when he came on at the end, with all those wonderful Cantona on the pitch and Drogba, all these amazing players and celebrities. And he won the prize, and well done to him. He looked really, really excited. And I felt for Lee Mack. Honestly, he missed two. He came on for Jeremy Lynch, who was man of the match. He was freestyler.
Yes, I saw Jez's goal. I saw his second goal, the one on the turn. That
brilliant.
Was a cracking goal,
wasn't
it?
You think, well, how come you weren't a pro? I mean, he's a really... And quick, he's really got some pace. And, of course, Lee is probably about 20 years older than him and not as good at football. He missed two great chances. And then in the penalty shootout, of course, he missed his penalty, so... As he did last year, so I felt for him, really. But what can you do?
If you were planning to watch it this morning and recorded it...
Well, it's your bad luck. You should have watched it last night and contributed like
well,
I did.
We're going to have a chat with Clive Tildesley, who was commentating yesterday. There was a bit of a nightmare moment for Carra, although I understand he said, look, they all wanted Usain Bolt to score, so I just let him have it. Gary Neville's not having that,
but on the other hand, his battle with Usain Bolt was incredible. I mean, you know, and he did some great work. I mean, it's not easy for these players, you know. I mean,
no, of course not. He's not played for a few years, is he?
Yeah, absolutely. And the cricket yesterday, I watched. There was a bit of a disappointment, wasn't it? I know you watched quite a bit of it. I thought there were some very unscenic views of Manchester, like a building site, waste ground and cranes. I thought, what a great advert for the watching billions in the subcontinent.
It's very good for the National Football Museum. They found that a few times right behind the ground, didn't they? You see that?
No, plenty I missed that.
Plenty of pictures of that.
That's good. And Fakar is a...
Pardon?
Well, that's his name.
Oh, yes.
It's a common...
I just... I didn't know if you were still on the subject of cricket. I'm really glad you were.
I thought
you'd gone incredibly posh swearing.
It's a commentator's nightmare.
Yeah.
Ramiz Raja had a most unfortunate pronunciation. He should know, but... very unfortunate. You know, you couldn't say it on here, but that's his name. What are you going to do?
Look, it was a fantastic atmosphere there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, brilliant. So, you know.
Well, Michael Carberry joins us later on. He's got an amazing story. He's had a comeback himself from two pretty serious illnesses. And he is a fine artist. He does ultra realism.
Yes.
Wonderful pencil drawings.
Unlike myself, he's actually got some talent.
Yeah, but the stuff's really good. He's got an exhibition on, and so we'll be chatting to him, talking a bit of cricket. You've got some theories on the 50-over game. We'll
yes,
be running
I
past
have,
him
yeah.
later on.
I think it's going to be slight problems, but there you go.
Today we'll also be chatting to Adam Cattrall. Fine work with Gareth A and the team over in Vegas. He's hot-footed it back, and he'll join us today to reflect on Tyson Fury's victory against Tom Swartz and what happens next. And I think talking to people in the States, he would have got a handle on, you know, Bob Arum's one thing. He'll keep talking up the guy he's given 80 million quid to. But it'd be interesting what American fight fans, and we saw some bits and pieces today from the American press, didn't we? One or two were impressed and they liked the showmanship, but they don't think you can judge Tyson based on two rounds against the guy when
no,
he wasn't up to
but
it.
You can judge him on his fight against Wilder. You can definitely judge him on that one.
So we'll look at his potential next fight and lots of other bits of boxing politics around the heavyweight division as well. David Priest will be joining us, a goalkeeping coach for Ostersunds, formerly of Sunderland. One of the big talking points of this World Cup has been the Women's World Cup has been the goalkeeping and the comments by Emma Hayes last week about maybe making pitches and goals smaller and the ball smaller, etc. has not met with a great deal of support within the game. It's quite interesting, isn't it? I mean, she was quite bold to say it, but an awful lot of ex-pros, including goalkeepers, don't think it's a great idea.
It seems that even, you know, women can't raise a sort of, you know, critical eye. I think that's a shame. It's one of the shames about this World Cup because it's been a big success and I'm really enjoying it. But I do notice that anybody says anything even remotely negative, they sort of get piled in on. And I think a lot of what she had to say made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and, you know, she's somebody who knows her stuff, but as we said, not everybody agreed. But we will talk about the goalkeeper. Certainly Argentina keeper the other night against England was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the keeper's not been too bad, really.
So we'll get a goalkeeping coach's take on it all. Clive Tilsley, as we said, joins us to reflect on Soccer Aid. Michael Carberry's going to join us in the studio. The Moose is out in Rimini with England's under-21s. We'll also be looking ahead to a documentary tonight on the Beeb called about Punjab United. Looks really good, actually. We'll tell you more about that. Their gaffer will be joining us later. It's Ascot, of course, underway tomorrow. Rupert Bell previews what's likely to be going on. And the boys at Duck Pond FC had another fine season, which meant the open-top bus came out.
Brilliant.
So, the Colchester and District Sunday League, out comes the open-top bus. And you were telling me, Andy, that your son's team, when they got to the final, did it like the pros. Sometimes at Sunday level, Saturday afternoon level, you think, why not? Let's do what the pros would do. So what did your guys do?
Well, so we were playing, it wasn't a home game, but the final happened to be in Chiswick. It was about, I'd say, by car, 2 to 3 minutes from the house, and we all assembled in the house, and we all got on a coach dressed in suits and drove around the corner in the coach and arrived at the ground as one.
So did the coach driver know when he turned up that he was only going to be driving for about a minute and a half?
Yeah.
Really?
They still charge you quite a lot, you know. I can't remember what it was, but, you know.
And he sat there, then he drove you back later or not?
Yeah, he drove us back after the game, yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
And you've been telling us your stories of how you did it like the pros, because that's often the case. Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon teams think, why not? We've got to the cup final, we've won the league. Let's splash out, let's do it like the pros. Mark Fillmore, good afternoon, Mark, says, my brother has a corporate cricket game every year. We walked out to Jerusalem a couple of years ago. Given that we'd lost 7-8 years in a row, we also introduced a huge runners-up trophy, 10 times the size of the winners. Pleased to say we still hold said trophy a number of years later. Proud runners-up. And this from Daniel Barrett, who says, my Sunday league team at under-14s, Abbey Rangers, got to a League Cup final. We hired a stretch limo to take us to the game. 15 minutes into the match, I volleyed a loose ball into our captain's face, who then went off with concussion. We went on to lose the final, so it wasn't a particular lucky charm. And this from Johnny, who says, under-18s Lincolnshire County Cup final, our gaffer told us to look into the floodlights before kickoff. To get used to it. Needless to say, we couldn't see anything for the first 10 minutes. And And he said, oh, the game he made us walk out hand in hand a la Brazil. So that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
So interesting coaching ideas there. Just look into the floodlights to get used to them so you're slightly blinded by them. Keep them coming then. Doing it like the pros. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J.
It's very interesting, actually, how people view the show, because another chap I met at Andy's party on Saturday said to me, I like it in the off-season when you're struggling for material.
He likes it when
suffer.
We get desperate.
It's brilliant.
Well, let me bring you some planning news now.
Oh, yeah,
as I said, journalism has changed over the years, and one thing that we often see now is celebrity planning news. Someone in the office of a newspaper just keeps an eye on someone famous, whether they're sport or not, and what they might be up to in their house. And so step forward, Ashley Cole. Ashley has decided he wants to chop down 9 trees.
Oh, that's controversial.
Well, that's right. Pine needles landing in his garden. It bothers him. He feels that the troublesome trees, which are protected by a preservation order, are messing up his landscape lawns and has sought council approval to chop them down.
Good luck. I don't think he'll get that, will he?
Well,
surely,
no. He's tree surgeon. He's got his own tree surgeon. I don't know if he's on the payroll.
Yeah.
I don't know if he offered him $65,000 a week and he nearly crashed the van, the tree surgeon, when he saw how little it was. But in a letter to the local council, the former Chelsea and Arsenal defender's tree surgeon, speaking on his behalf, said, my customer would like to reduce these trees as they drop a lot of needles and he would like some more light. The trees are very one-sided as well. A bad reduction has been carried out. So blaming somebody else's work. And the sides have not been touched. So look.
Didn't touch the sides.
Didn't touch the sides. Planners at Mole Valley are expected to make a decision later this month. So, look, of course, as soon as we get it, we'll bring it to you first and fastest here on Talk Sport.
Thank you, Arthur. That's a thriller.
Look out for Planners. I mean, really, this does really take me back to those few months of Kevin Keegan's extension.
Yeah.
And how many dormers he could have. It was a really worrying time for all of us at the station, but I think in the end he got what he wanted, didn't
he? Well, we were all delighted.
We were. Well, I think we had a big party, yeah.
And Phil Neville's had a makeover at home.
Has he?
Yes, his wife has basically published photographs of her refurbished living room on Instagram.
So while he's away, she's changed the house. She hasn't changed the locks, I hope.
She's redesigned the family's 10-bedroom home, setting herself up as project manager and interior designer. She's created a cinema room for 8 people.
Nice.
Complete with armchairs that extend into beds.
That's good, isn't it? If it's a really bad film.
Yeah, that's true. And refurbished the dining room around an extraordinary chandelier-style light above the table.
Nice.
She then turned her attention to updating the swimming pool area.
Of course she did.
Adding a gym and no doubt much to the excitement of the couple's teenage children, a games room.
Nice.
Yeah, so some of the stuff we
do you think
about
Phil's been kept in the loop, or is this going to be a shock to him when he gets home?
No, I think he knows all about it. And talking of the Women's World Cup, this letter's come through from Tony, wrote to the... so no one else raised this point at all.
Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoying the Women's World Cup, but why, when they score a goal, does the entire team have to rush over to the touchline and celebrate with subs and the entire coaching staff? Come on, ladies. Keep it to a simple shake of the hands with teammates. Like the men do.
Yeah, that's
what
right.
What are
you
talking about?
The simple shake of hands went out in the 50s, didn't it, really?
No. When's that going to happen? And news from the court circular. I like this one today in the Times. Let's have a look at it. Where is she? She's gone. Oh, no, there she is. The Baroness Baron was present at Heathrow this afternoon to greet the arrival of the President of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. And I was thinking... Is there a baron? Because that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if it's a baroness baron,
there's got to be a baron.
There's got to be a baron, isn't it? Almost certainly,
I've
got bad news for the Moose later on. Fish and chips could be off the menu.
Yes,
I don't just mean today, but I mean forever.
Forever.
Apparently, boffins have said larger marine species, including cod and haddock, face being wiped out as rising temperatures reduce oxygen levels in the ocean.
It is worrying.
If you're Harry Ramsden, you'd be absolutely gutted today, wouldn't you?
I thought you'd be Harry Redknapp. No. He opened a fish and chip shop. He's done everything else.
Harry Redknapp's fish and chips. That's a nice idea. Well, they thought he was in the spotted dick business when it was just an advert, so why not?
But the cod and haddock aren't going to be dying out till about 1950.
Yeah.
2050.
It's not 1950 anymore, Andy.
So by 2050, what's that? It's another... 31 years. Moose will be too old for fish and chips.
I don't, will he?
Maybe about 81.
We can break it, we can mash it down for him, we can liquidise it for him.
You just have the mushy piece.
Yeah, you just have the mushy.
They're not extinct.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, we'll catch up with the Moose. He's in Rimini. What a tough life.
No, I know, yeah.
He is travelling around the country. It's still about the odd couple. Paul Jiggins, a regular guest on the show, the Sun writer, is following the 21s. And so, two birds, one stone. They are sharing a car.
Honestly.
Yeah, there's your sitcom pilot. So
put it this way, Jiggo's a really, really good bloke.
Yeah. It's a bit harsh. How long is it really before Jiggo pushes him out of the car? Possibly over a sort of cliff or something. But we'll find out.
I know, Paul, he's not going to take to Moose's rudeness to foreign people when he's abroad. He won't like that at all.
No, he'll be having a word with him.
We'll have a word with him.
We'll have a word. We'll mark his card. You know what he's like when he goes abroad, the Moose. Although it is the home of pizza, which is all he eats. So, he should be quite happy.
That's very true, but he'll be complaining. It's not the type of pizza he's used to. It was the world's poshest sporting event yesterday. Cartier Queen's Cup Polo at Windsor. Were you there?
Funny enough, I didn't go along.
That
was me.
Jenna Coleman was there along with a host of stars.
Okay. I've never been to polo, have you?
No.
You into it?
No, I used to like it on the telly. I always say to you the same thing, though. You need a keeper. It was pointless. You know, it's too easy to score, in my view.
Really?
Well, there's no goalkeeper.
It's a basic flaw in the game.
I think there is a basic flaw
but, I mean,
in the game.
Would they be on horseback? Or would you, keeper in that sport, but there's people with massive hammers on horses.
Yeah, but it's only like hurling, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not on horses, though, are they? Horse hurling, that's a good sport, isn't it?
Horse hurling.
Yeah, that would be good.
It is horse hurling, though, really. Polo is horse hurling.
Yeah, okay, but okay. All right.
Thanks very much.
We'll leave it there. Polo is horse hurling.
See, the guy that we met on Saturday night, it's perfect. Horse hurling. You'll never be happier.
Yeah, that's right. We'll do an hour on horse hurling. Should it take off? We'll get a load of guests on. It'll be great.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk. So it's a little bit of Arsenal off air after breaking news. Michael Carberry is an Arsenal fan, of course, former England batsman as well. Michael, good to see you.
Hello, guys. How are we?
Yeah, we're good. We're going to have plenty of cricket to talk about. But before we do all that, much like Andy, you are a budding artist. I think, to be fair, you're probably a bit better than Andy. You've got very different styles.
No, I wouldn't deny that.
Very different styles. But,
Andy.
I've got no style whatsoever.
I'll show
Michael.
All these years we've known each other, mate.
I know,
kept that under wraps.
It's a new departure for me. A bit like yourself, I think. You know, only in the last year I've been doing it. But we're not here to talk about mine. We're here to talk about yours.
Had you been an artist as a kid? Did you used to kind of draw a lot as a kid?
Yeah, I kind of dabbled with it at GCSE level. Mm-hmm. And then took it up at A level. And then a thing called cricket got in the way for a little bit. So I had to sort of drop it because it was a bit too much workload along with side playing cricket.
So it wasn't a kind of outlet? It wasn't a sort of way of relaxing when you play cricket? You just kind of stopped doing it
altogether?
No, not at all.
Really? So I pretty much stopped doing it altogether. Was obviously pursuing cricket for all those years. And it was really on the recovery from illness in 2016 that I just decided to sort of start sketching again. But didn't realise that so much stuff on the internet could teach you how to take your drawings at next level. So
that's true.
Just sort of, you know, started to delve into it and look it up and found a style called hyperrealism, I believe it's called. And it just blew my mind what you could do with just simply a pencil.
Yeah.
Just went along with it and kept practicing and started buying the pencils and stuff like that.
You're spending a lot of money, don't you?
Yeah.
That's what you've been doing, isn't it? Yeah. They love you
they
in
love
the art
me.
Shop.
Oh, they love me.
They're singing The King is in the Altogether when you must have this pencil, they say. It's only $5,000.
Yeah, I think Jeff Bezos has made a lot of money off me.
But I was going to say, the start of people should go and check them out online. You've got an exhibition at the moment, haven't you?
Yeah. It's going on currently. So I'm at Campbell's Art Gallery, Thurlow Street in South Kensington. We've got an open view tonight, so people please come down and have a look. So that's running through the week. We had the launch night last Friday. Went really well, really nice turnout, a lot of old friends and some new friends as well. So yeah, hopefully we can take it from strength to strength. We also have some shows in August around the Ashes, around the Lord's Test match, and one around the Oval Test match in September. So if you can't get along to this one, obviously come down to the other
two. Yeah, yeah.
Do you find it sort of cathartic doing it? I do. I find it's a completely relaxing thing to do. You just don't think about anything else.
Well, I think, to be honest, Andy, as I said before, where I was in my life at the time, obviously going through cancer was a really tough time. Mm. Anyone who's had it can sort of vouch for that. And sometimes having too much time on your hands is not always a good thing if you don't have anything to do with it. So I think, yeah, having the art to kind of lose, you know, you can lose yourself in it for so many hours and not have to think about, you know, where you need to get back to or get your body back to, because it is a tough time. Mm. You know, very painful operation, obviously. So it was great. And then once I was back playing, actually I found it really therapeutic. You know, you do nick off in those early season, you know, pitches are a bit difficult, you can go and disappear, and whilst keeping abreast of the game you can go and sketch something, and you know, you're not sitting there sort of dwelling on your dismissals.
Yeah. You've gone through it, haven't you, Michael, health-wise in the last 10 years. It was the second kind of serious issue you had, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it started with the lungs, 2010. Obviously, just played my first test match in Bangladesh. Was really on top of the world, and then, you know, hit rock bottom, finding out that I've got double clots in both lungs. So that was a big blow. And then, obviously, you think you're England chances have come and gone, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of hard work, a lot of determination. Finally got back there 4 years later to play in the Ashes. You know, regardless of the result, I enjoyed the challenge of it. You know, I was still playing pretty well for Hampshire. I'd won the Big Bash as well, so that was pretty good. And, you know, to sort of find out then, you know, you've been diagnosed with cancer was firstly a shock, but, you know, a major blow.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was, again, here we go again, you know, you've got to pick yourself up. And
like you said, a big op, wasn't it? It was, you said, yeah, there was like the tumours, removing the tumours was complicated, and it took its toll, didn't it?
Yeah, I definitely. And you know, remember, you're six years older as well, so the body needs that little bit more recovery time as well. But we had some complications through the operation as well. It wasn't totally straightforward, but you know, credit to the medical team that I had. I think, you know, Dr. Jim Khan was fantastic, and his team. The recovery took its time. You know, I don't think I really fully got my body back, but I suppose I've always believed about, you know, in the sort of will to succeed, that it can push you and drive you through a lot of things when you're not quite at your best. And I had to sort of by then accept the athlete now that I had to be after that.
Difficult. I mean, you had this golden period, didn't you, where you just batted brilliantly and great to watch in 2020 and one day cricket, and as you say, you've got to the Ashes. So it is a bit, you know, obviously it's more than frustrating, it's heartbreaking really, isn't it, to have that taken away.
Yeah, but you know what, I guess now that I've finished, and you know, I'm now sort of tutoring, mentoring some kids and some young pros out there, you know, and hopefully it shows the general public out there that, you know, we are human, and these things do happen, and it's, you know, divvying up a sporting career along with general stuff in life is the same things we go through that anyone on the street goes through.
Sure.
And it, you know, this thing really, really comes a test of your mental capacity. And I've always believed that was my greatest strength as a player, that almost when my back was against the wall, that's pretty much when you saw the best of me.
Mm.
And I guess now I'm in a great position now where I can kind of spread the word to younger people and any people, you know, anyone really, who's, it may touch a nerve with them. You know, it's something that certainly as young pros, they may sadly go through in their own life, and it's learning how to deal with it, I guess.
And are you in remission? You cancer free now? So you still having the regular checkups?
Praise God. Yeah, we're good.
Brilliant.
Yeah, the body's good as it can be. Since retirement, been eating a lot of cake, so it's good. trying to put the weight back on.
You play with some great players, of course, and Hampshire and for England, but probably the greatest bowler of all time, Shane Warne. You've done a brilliant portrait of him. So are there a lot of sporting influences come through? Do you do a lot from that as well?
I saw an Anthony Joshua one as well, which was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a huge Anthony Joshua fan. He's, you know, I find him you know, I find him really, really inspirational as a not only as a sports person, obviously what he's achieved, but, you know, just as a person, listening to his story, you know, similar to mine, you know, coming through adversities and stuff. But the Shane Warne, yeah, was obviously someone very dear to me. I think, you know, I've publicly said he was really the catalyst for me taking that next step from being a good domestic player to an international player. Just in the thinking and the mindset, taking your game that next level. And, you know, so he spent a lot of time with Warney over the 2 years. He was my captain at Hampshire, and really enjoyed listening to him. He's got, you know, what he knows, his brain is just genius. I would say he's the greatest captain Australia never had, really.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, the amount of people who've said that to us, who worked with and under Shane Warne, who said he was really good with his time, he was good with his advice, he was, you know, this is one of the greatest cricketers ever, according to Wisden, one of the greatest ever. So, but there he is, happy to mentor, happy to kind of coach and help people along. That's great.
Yeah, I always say, look, the hallmark of leadership for me is, especially when you're at that iconic level, and there's plenty of people in various sports, you know, they're very good at doing what they do, and we all sit there and marvel at what they do, but can they take mere mortals with them and raise their game an extra percent, 5%? And I think that's the very special gift of SK Warne, is that he was able to take, you know, a Hampshire team at the time, respectfully to the guys that were there. We weren't necessarily, you know, creating waves out there. We had some good players, and he took Hampshire down to become a team that people just didn't like playing.
And
along the way, we won some trophies, and I think we played certainly the most enjoyable brand of cricket for the time that I was there at Hampshire.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. You've been telling us some stories this afternoon about doing it like the pros. Andy was telling us his son's team got to the cup final, put the suits on, decided to get a coach to the ground they were playing at, which is fine.
Yeah.
But except how far was it away?
2 minutes.
2 minutes in a coach. But it's not the point, is it?
Yeah.
It's like doing it like the pros.
It was.
And this is true also of Duck Pond FC in the Colchester and District Sunday League. Not for the first time after a successful season, the boys took to the open-top bus and drove around the streets to, I don't know, packed audiences or not. We'll find out now because Mr. Duck Pond himself, the founder and player-manager of the team, Michael Hammond, joins us. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
So, this I say it's a few times you've gone for the old open top bus ride after a good season, isn't it?
Yeah, we've done numerous things. Even going back to your last story, we've even hired Cole United's first team bus to drive us to a cup final as well, which is just purely because we're playing our local rivals and we thought we had to go in style. So yeah, we've done that before as well.
Yeah. But it gives you a bit of edge, doesn't it, when you do that? I mean, obviously you've got to win the game, but somehow you turn up like that.
It does bring pressure.
Yeah,
it does bring pressure because otherwise you don't look the best when you're driving Wayne Colts United's first team bus and you've lost the cup final to your rivals.
That's true.
But we won 4-0, so that rubbed it in their face a bit.
One of our listeners told us earlier on they hired the England team coach and they went there and they lost 10-0. He said the most embarrassed he'd ever been getting back on that bus after they'd lost 10-0 in the cup final. So who funds this, Michael? Do all the boys chip in to pay for this?
I'm quite good with just putting towards it. It's my 24/7, so I literally top it up to whatever need be. But we've got a lot of great sponsors who help out massively, and the boys themselves as well. I mean, this do come to $4,000, and per player put in £70, and then I just topped up the rest for whatever it needed.
So the £4,000, that's for the hire of the double-decker bus. What does it cost? There might be some other Sunday teams. I take it that's only part of the £4,000. So what does it cost to hire an open-top bus these days?
So that the initial cost of our bus was £400.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But we had, we bought a marquee, a big marquee for the garden, which we decorated in banners, flags, scarves, pictures. We had a load of trophies and alcohol there as well.
Right, okay.
Done our big presentation, had a few beers, and then headed over to the open top bus, which was also decorated in flags and banners, which we also then put balloons on. And then I had a tipper that drove behind the open top bus, which had a giant pictures of the football team blown up onto a canvas. with 2 metres wide, 2.5 metres tall.
Brilliant.
And then while that little gang was driving down the road, touring our local town, we had the aeroplane flying over the top, just getting it straight over the top. that come over. And one of my colleagues today said to me that he was in Shotley, which is across the water from us, and he said he could hear us on the bus and he could see the plane, so that's good news.
So does any crowd come in? Normally an open-top bus, you drive through this sort of admiring crowd and
the throngs. What do the people of Harwich make of it all?
All I know is we had one Tony Shaw, that's all I know. But we had one Tony Shaw, but there was a lot of shoppers out and there was at least one fan I know that was out generally just for us, and that's enough.
That's all. Yeah, just if you can get one fan. But there was a few old dears pushing their chopping trolleys along, wondering what the heck was going on were there, I would imagine.
Of course, yeah. I mean, obviously, like I said before, we only live in a small town and our banter has always been the best by far. And it's quite common knowledge that we're going to do something bigger and better than anyone else does do. So I don't think anyone was surprised, if you like, by what we've done, because it's something that's just progressively got bigger and bigger and bigger every year we do it.
Yeah. You're obviously quite a decent side. You've won the league a number of times. You've done the double as well. So you're obviously quite a decent.
We've got the best dressing room, bar none. We've got the best players that play in our area. If you're good at football, you play for Duck Pond. It's as simple as that. We've cleared up the best division we can on a Sunday now. So the next step is to win the County Cup, the Essex Premier Cup. We've got a few people saying that that's what we need to win before we can class ourselves as the best.
The sort of money you're pumping in for banners and buses and stuff, have you thought maybe that's £4,000 that could? Would you think about semi-pro spending a bit of it on the team, or is it just a bit?
No,
of fun?
We've got players that all play an okay level of football on a Saturday, but it is purely just banter, fun, laughs. I mean, everyone says it. No matter what dressing room they're sitting on a Saturday and how high level and serious that is, there is no team dressing room that comes close to sitting in our one.
Wow.
Which is obviously like a nice thing to hear for the effort that we all put in.
Sure. And it's a lovely idea, isn't it, that you can just for that one day you can do it like the pros.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and it gives the lads a lift, and you know, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, and it's an incentive, I would imagine, isn't it? I imagine they think, you know, that'd be a real laugh if we get to do that again this year, so it makes them want to win.
Exactly. And the best thing as well, though, even if any teams are looking towards doing it, which I'm going to do for next season already, I'm going to just set all the boys up with a little tariff to pay monthly.
Right.
And we're going to go even bigger and better next year. So then it was just going to be a monthly sort of payment rather than just to get to the end of the season and whack loads of money in.
Yeah.
We'll gradually build a balance to do something bigger and better next year.
Wow, I think a parade in Trafalgar Square.
Yeah, that's the only thing, you can hire Trafalgar Square. That might be nice to have some live bands and stuff. That would be good. Yeah, yeah.
We are getting a lot of support from obviously it going viral again. So there's loads of people coming at us wanting to sponsor us and help out. So anyone who does want to get involved, just drop me a message.
Brilliant.
We can go bigger and better and put your name on it.
Okay, nice one. Good to talk to you. Thanks, Michael.
Top man. Thank you very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Don't ask me to leave it out.
Here we go then. I need five questions based on last week's shows. Can you get five out of five?
Probably
et cetera,
not.
Et cetera. Jimmy Anderson was here Friday. He's written an excellent book, Bowl, Sleep, Repeat, with Felix White. Felix was in a band. What was the band called?
Oh, the Maccabees.
Oh, blimey. Oh, yeah. Here we are. Who joined us to tell us about his appearance at Glastonbury with the Utopia Strong?
Steve Davis.
Steve Davis, yeah, yeah. Some thought.
Thank you.
Colin Flint joined us as well. He makes guitars shaped like cricket bats, or is it cricket bats which you've got guitars on?
Yeah.
What's the name of his company? It's cricket related.
Oh.
Founder of. It's a cricket term.
Oh, bat out of hell.
No. That's a really good one, but it's not that. No.
Oh,
no?
What's it called? Colin
Flynn.
Cricket term to do with guitars.
Yeah, not necessarily to do with.
Nobody said that.
No.
Now you're making it up.
I'm terribly sorry.
Cover Drive. The company was called Cover Drive. Ursula Burns plays the harp. She was on Britain's Got Talent.
That's right. Yeah.
Which football club were looking for a harpist and then weren't when we phoned them up?
Gillingham.
Gillingham, that's right. Yeah, they'd gone off the idea apparently. Yeah. Didn't want one.
Yeah.
Wrighty was here last week
and
as part of some work he was doing with Gillette on Father's Day, talked about, apart from his old school teacher, the two other defining father figures in his career. He mentioned two people. Can you remember who they were?
Was it Glenn Hoddle?
No, it wasn't one of them.
No, I don't know. I don't remember.
David Dean and Steve Coppell.
I
think they were pretty well set.
Good questions.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, I'm glad you're not railing against me like you often do when you get them wrong.
No, I thought they were fair enough.
Good, okay.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That's this afternoon's show. Again, I'm pleased you felt the questions I'd set were gettable. You just couldn't get them.
Yeah.
That's right. But I know sometimes you say to me, oh, that was too hard, or that. How would I know that?
That's right.
But you didn't do that to me.
No, that's true.
Be very fair.
I know. And also, the ones that I really slipped on were 7 days ago.
Yeah. Thanks for downloading us. Tomorrow, among our guests, comedian Jacob Hawley will be here in the studio. Until then, have a fine evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.